Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Wednesday, November 27th, 2019, the day before Thanksgiving, our last show of the week. So it's sort of like Friday around the TMO Towers. I'm your host, Kelly Gaumont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi. As we say in Geek World, Logical Friday.
That works.
Good morning.
Also with me, Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy pre-Thanksgiving.
Yes, and to you. Now, Andrew, I actually want to start with you. You wrote an interesting story this morning about government and technology, and I kind of get the feeling they are not two great tastes that taste great together.
Yeah, so for a while now, we've been seeing some politicians going after big tech for antitrust, and eventually that investigation was started. The latest thing to come of that is people talking about Apple. They're specifically talking about, I think this came with iOS 12, where Apple has more control, or it limits third-party apps from using your location in the background.
Yeah. It's where we get the option, I think, for a third choice for location services on, location services off, location services while using the app.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if you've been seeing a lot more pop-ups about that, that is why.
Yes.
However, you only see that pop-up in third-party apps, Apple's own apps that do use location, like maybe weather or maps. Mm-hmm. You don't get that alert. Now, you still can turn off the location for those for Apple apps. You just have to dive into settings, which people might not know is there or how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of another feature that was mentioned in this article, I think it was by, the Washington Post, Tile, they make their Bluetooth tracking devices, and it's harder for them now to help their users use their devices because they can't, they have to prompt their users every so often to remember that you have a Tile device. Do you still want us to track it?
I have one, and I have noticed that prompt. You know, the Tile app has used your location X number of times in the last, I don't remember if it's 2 days or 3 days. Do you want it to continue? And the thing that's interesting to me is that even though I always say always allow because it's okay with me, it still keeps asking me once in a while. So I was wondering about that.
And then, so the thinking here, this was more of my supposition, but we've been hearing rumors that maybe Apple would come out with their competitor to Tile. Mm-hmm. And so the worry there is, what if they're using that blocking location as an edge over Tile for their own product?
Oh.
Because you probably won't get alerts for this Apple tag either.
Interesting.
But that's okay. I'll explain in a minute when it's my turn.
Okay. That is a very interesting idea because we've heard people complain about Apple having an advantage over third-party apps in various ways in the app stores, both the Mac app store and the iOS app store. And, if you go all the way back to the beginning of the app store, you would hear things once in a while about like this apps getting rejected because it had too much functionality that was like something Apple offered. And so they wouldn't let it in the store. And that position has softened over time. But there were things, I remember a bunch of those being like, that like initially there were no weather apps because Apple gives you a weather app and that's good enough. You'll take it and like it. Right. So it's interesting to have watched their stance soften over time on stuff like that. But still, I could totally see where Tile could get put at a tactical disadvantage if Apple doesn't have to ask you for that stuff. I wonder if part of that has to do with because some of that stuff is tied into when you use an iCloud account to sign into your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if part of that is like, and we want to use your location as much as we want, or something like that, or if that notification would change. So interesting. So John, I have a hunch you have something to say about that.
Yeah, I believe this is kind of a red herring. I think the representative, how do you say his name? Cicilline?
I think so.
We'll
maybe
go with that.
Cicilline?
I don't know.
I think they're kind of looking for things to dig up. And I think it represents a fundamental misunderstanding of how operating systems and services work and the security and responsibility of an operating system versus an app. And while you guys were doing the intro, I was thinking of an example of a car company. Car company has a computer system in the car, and it's responsible for the ignition timing and the anti-lock brakes and the lane changing and the environmental controls and the locks on the car and so on, so on, so on. Mm-hmm. And the company takes responsibility for that as the operating system of the car. So imagine an app maker coming along and saying, well, you know, you're locking me out. I want to have control over the ignition system. I want to have control over, you're locking me out. It's anti-competitive. And I think it's the issue of whether you trust Apple and Apple takes responsibility and whether there's been ever been a developer who's been nefarious and misused the information they had, which they have. Mm-hmm. And so Apple makes a responsible decision about where the line is drawn between Apple's ownership and security and responsibility of the operating system, which is what operating systems do. Mm-hmm. And opportunities for app developers to exist in that secure environment. And not every app developer is going to have the same privileges, and nor do they have the same responsibilities when it comes to living in that environment.
Sure.
And so to say that it's anti-competitive for Apple to lock out developers from engaging in certain critical services is just irresponsible and misinformed.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. What I think, and I don't know if this is kind of where Andrew's at too, but I don't consider weather information and the location, my location relative to the weather information, to be something that my phone has to do. It can do. If I install a different weather app, like Carrot Weather, which I like. Hi, Carrot Weather. Carrot Weather will prompt me. Like, if I use it regularly, it goes, hey, your location, I'm using your location information. Do you want to continue doing that? And Apple's app for weather to do the same thing doesn't prompt me for that. And like I said, that might be part of the user account. That might be part of.
I believe Apple's talked about that in security documents in the past because we bought the Apple iPhone or device. We trust Apple. We don't expect Apple to implicitly nag us about, well, you bought the phone, you paid $1,000 for it, you love Apple computer. Do you really, really trust us with your locations untoward? Whereas for a developer, you might download an app on a whim. You don't really know anything about them. You don't have any insight into their structure or their heritage or their provenance or their business practices.
Right.
And so it's important for the user to distinguish between trust. And security is based on trust. And so we have an unknown. You have to go that extra step to verify. Do you want this app to access your location? Sure. If you say, okay, it's fine. But we assume you already trust Apple. And that's not anti-competitive behavior either. That's just levels of trust within security environment.
Yeah, but I think the argument they're making there is maybe Apple is taking advantage of that implicit trust. I agree that limiting location tracking in the background is good, but I do see a good argument for why doesn't Apple give alerts for its own apps too. I think I've seen an alert for Apple Maps maybe once or twice, but no other apps.
Yeah, and I don't even remember getting a Maps alert. So, and I do use Maps regularly. I use it at least as often as I use Carrot Weather because I just have a complication on my watch. So I just look occasionally and see it there. But
differentiating between levels of trust between an operating system maker, your phone manufacturer, and an app maker is not anti-competitive. And the trouble with technology is often things appear to be one way when, in fact, they're derived from a deeper level of technology that people don't understand. We see that all the time.
Well, mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. And that could be part of what's contributing to this investigation. You know, this is why, you know, something must be done. But I think, at least for me, part of it is that I'm not getting those prompts from the Apple apps, which are not core to the functionality of my phone. You know, it's still called an iPhone, you know, being able to make phone calls and send and receive text messages and, you know, the other sorts of communication sorts of things, maybe take a picture, that you could do with the phone you had before you got an iPhone. Like, those things all still work. And I'm not talking about that stuff that's, like, core to what you carry around a phone in order to enable you to do. I'm talking about the other stuff. And, you know, I'm not talking about, like, getting to install an alternate phone app or anything like that. This is more about the third-party stuff. And I think that third-party stuff sometimes needs to be revisited just to make sure that everybody's on the same page. And, you know, I think that that's the part that I am unhappy with, because it's not as obvious.
This. The main concern is that this gives Apple an advantage over the competitors.
Right.
Well, yes, a developer of a phone should have an advantage over competitors, because they take responsibility in ways that developers do not.
Well, but an advantage in a weather app is what I'm talking about. Like, yes, in order to make things happen, I understand that there are APIs. You know, we hear about the kits. There's Health Kit and there's Research Kit and Call Kit and all these kits that anybody can access. But Apple will always have unprecedented access to those things. I understand that. That's not the part that I'm hung up on. It's, why doesn't Apple's weather app, if I use Apple's weather app regularly, why doesn't it hassle me about location the way the Carrot weather app does, if all I'm trying to do is find out, is it going to rain later, the end?
Because we trust Apple in ways we don't trust a random developer.
Well, Carrot's not a random developer, but anyway.
Well, you know, people you download mean apps on developers. Whim all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do people go to the website, research the company, look up in the business, find out about the provenance of the company, look at other products from the company, talk to people? No, they just click. They download. No,
they listen to us, because then we tell them stuff like, the Carrot developer doesn't do anything shady with your data, and I have Andrew on to talk about it when people do. So
yeah,
that tends to generally be how that works. I understand your point, and I think part of it is just that this is one of those things that it would be very helpful if Apple were more clear. The reason you're not getting those prompts is because when you agree to the operating system user agreement, or when you agree to the iCloud user agreement, it says in there that we will sometimes use your location data for stuff. And that's the only part that, you know, and you're agreeing to that as part of signing into one of these things. Like, maybe that's what's happening and we just don't see that because it's not, because we're not getting pestered by the Apple apps the way that we are the third party stuff. And that's the part that I would like a little more visibility into. I'm sure I could go dig into it. Maybe somebody has and will tell me. And if you do, I look forward to that. It's observations@macobserver.com. Please tell me about it. You might have some free time over the next couple of days. And if you do, then by all means, dig into that and send us an email. You can also talk to us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. But speaking of having some free time over the next few days, Andrew, you have published first in a series this year, latest in a series because you've done them before, of Black Friday, well, Christmas gift guides, holiday gift guides. But this one has some more specific stuff in it for this year.
Yeah, I included a couple of products that I've reviewed before, and then a couple that, you know, companies have sent me that I agreed with and thought, oh, that sounds cool. Maybe my readers were like that. Mm-hmm. This seems like a good deal. So I think there's 7 products or brands that I found, and I think maybe people will find them useful for Black Friday.
Okay. I will point out one of those is one that I can personally attest to, and that is, I'm not going to remember what it's called, but it's the AirPods case from 12 South.
Yeah. Is that the AirSnap?
AirSnap, yeah. Let me see. Does it say on the back? Yes, AirSnap. It's right on the back of the case, because it's right here on my desk. So one of the things that I like about this is actually one that I chose on the Mac Voices gift guide, which we've talked about before. And part of why I chose it is because it has a clip on it so that you can clip your tile to it. Because when you're me and you set down your AirPods case somewhere weird, it's really nice to be able to find it again. Which is why the tile thing keeps notifying me, because I have a couple. I have a leather one, but the ones that are, they just announced holiday colors, I think you said, in the tweed, right?
Yeah, so they sent me the AirSnap Tweed. I really like them, and as a special thing, they have them in red and green now. Mm-hmm. And I think the green looks nice.
They both look really nice. I think if you know somebody getting AirPods, this is a nice way to sort of plus that gift. And the clip is great. I use the clip constantly. The tile always lives there, but I can clip it to the key leash in my purse, which makes it easy to find my AirPods if I am taking them with me in my bag. And I will occasionally clip it like to a belt loop if I'm out like doing yard work and stuff. I will clip it there to make sure I have my case with me. So that one's pretty cool. Do you want to give us a sneak peek of another one?
Sure. So yeah, just to reiterate for that, the 12 South one is like, it's not just the AirPods case. They're having deals for multiple products. So check those out. Another one, I haven't used this app, but it's called Unclutter. And it's a clipboard manager. You can store snippets from your clipboard as well as notes and files. On November 28th, tomorrow, they will slash that price in half. So it's normally $19.99. It will be $9.99 instead.
Nice. I know what I'm doing tomorrow morning before I put the turkey in. I have an older version, and I really like Unclutter. It's sort of like having a transitory inbox, like a place you can temporarily put something. I only need it for a minute, or I need it for a whole bunch right now, and then I can go archive it somewhere. It's really, really good for that stuff. And if you don't have something that is a clipboard manager for you, all of TMO cannot recommend that to you highly enough. You should really, really get one. It is so much more convenient when you can live life not having to go copy, switch to the other thing, paste, go back, copy the other thing, switch back, paste. When you can just copy, 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 and then switch to the other thing and paste, 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 it's so much better. You should absolutely do that. John, do you have anything that you particularly like or that's on your gift-giving list this year?
No, I can't think of anything. Sorry.
Well, I did give you about 2 seconds to think about what that was going to be. So, I know one thing that you like to give is something with a high utilization factor, I think you've called it.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bottle of something.
As opposed to unwrap and then goes into the drawer for future use. Mm.
I call those thing to dust gifts. am I giving you a gift that you are going to use and enjoy and you know, think happy thoughts about me because it's something that you really that you use that makes your life better in some way? Or is it going to be a thing to dust?
And I'll tell you something I use every day that Brian clued me into a few years ago.
Yeah.
There is a little add-on clip for your lightning cable for your iPad that has a loop. And it attaches to the lightning cable and provides a charging adapter for your Apple Pencil.
Oh.
And it, not only that, but it glows in the dark. Oh. So you can find it at night. And
Is that the adapter that comes in the box for the Apple Pencil? So you can just plug it into a lightning cable instead of into a...
I don't know if Apple supplies one anymore, but I bought this from a third party. And it allows you to plug the... It's a basically a self-charger adapter.
Yeah. They used to be... I don't know if they still are.
It clips onto the end of your lightning cable so you don't lose it.
That's... Oh, I need one of those.
Something that everybody needs.
Yes. I have one of those that glows in the dark. That is it's the same thing, the little silicone, glow-in-the-dark silicone majigger. Not to get too technical, but it goes on the end of your MacBook cable, for those of us who are still in MagSafe land. So that if you have an original MagSafe power brick and you occasionally need a MagSafe 2 adapter, this holds the adapter to your cable in case you need it. And I have put this in my suitcase as a checked bag. I've thrown it in the bottom of my backpack. I've done like everything. And that little adapter has never, ever come out. And it's super duper great. And I really, really like it. So anything like that that allows you to keep hold of those little bits and pieces is always really a great idea. So that's pretty cool. I didn't know that existed. Now I'm going to have to go get one. So, all right. We will have... Andrew, you're doing one more gift guide this year?
Yeah, I'm going to have, this one is just Black Friday specific. I will have a more general holiday gift guide in December.
Okay, excellent. And that's going to do it for us. Most of us have Thanksgiving prep to head off for now. John Martellaro, thank you so much for being here today, and happy Thanksgiving.
It was my pleasure. And if I can find the reference to this adapter, I'll put it in the show notes.
Excellent. I'm very excited about that. Andrew Orr, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
And happy Thanksgiving to you. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners who are having Thanksgiving. And if you're not having Thanksgiving tomorrow, then I wish you a very happy Thursday. And one of the things I'm thankful for is all of you, everybody that tunes in and listens to us, everybody that gives us feedback and talks to us about the topics we discuss and all that kind of feedback. We really like it. So thank you so much for that. And we will talk to you again Monday. And I know that for the next few days it might be really difficult, but I sincerely hope that you can all be excellent to each other.